This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. By Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years. But at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel. Get your car ready for the holidays at Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield. Wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, steering repairs, and more. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Taylor Tire and Auto Service in Litchfield will be closed from December 24th through January 1st to spend time with family during the holidays. Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
It's coming up on 11 minutes after 6 as we begin the Farm Show on this Friday morning. First of all, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. Right now, December wheat is trading at $7.96 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter. March wheat trading at $8.13 and a half, up a nickel. December corn now trading at $7.11 and a half, down 3 quarter. March corn trading at $7.20 and a half, up a quarter. January soybeans now trading at $14.89, up 12 and a half. March beans trading at $14.85 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarter. The overnight crude oil market, 84 cents higher at $86.73. The Brent crude, 55 cents higher at $108.46. The February gold contract, $1.20 higher at $1,698. The U.S. dollar index, 0.046, lower at 79.882. On the Chicago Board of Trade Thursday, December wheat ended at 7.93. That was down 1 3/4. March wheat ended at 8.08 and a half, down 3 and a half. May wheat ended at 8.21 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. December corn yesterday ended at 7.12 and a quarter, down 8 and 3 quarter. March corn ended at 7.20 and a quarter, down 5 and a quarter. May corn ended at 7.24, down 4 and a half. January soybeans yesterday ended at 14.76 and a half, up 3. March beans ended at 14.72 and a half, up 2. May beans ended at 14.56 and a half, up 1 and a half. December soybean meal yesterday ended at $4.60.50, up a dime. January meal ended at $4.55.30, up 33. March meal ended at $4.50.50, up 35. December soybean oil yesterday ended at $48.62, down 56. January oil ended at $49, down 54. March oil ended at $49.47, down 56. December oats yesterday ended at 369 and 3 quarter, up a half. March oats ended at 387, up 1 and 3 quarter. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Thursday afternoon, with soybeans higher and the corn and wheat futures lower. Soybean futures were supported by another strong week of weekly export sales of over 1 million tons. Strong soybean meal futures also helped to lift prices. In northern and western Illinois, Kinder Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 6 cents lower at 7.02 to 7.16. Soybean bids were mostly 2 to 4 higher at 14.41 to 14.56. In central Illinois, Kinder Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 6 cents lower at 7.14 to 7.29. Soybean bids were up 2 to 6 cents at 14.59 to 14.77. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 to 8 cents lower at 6.94 to 7.36, soybean bids 2 to 6 higher at 14.75 to 14.95, and the wheat bids mostly 3 to 5 lower at 7.83 to 8.09. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids gained 3 cents, ranging from 14.92 to 15.02. Basis ended steady for the day, ranging from 15 to 25 over January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis up $3.30 to $6.30 a ton to range from $4.66.30 to $4.80.30. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 2 to 5 cents at $7.22 to $7.30, with basis 2 to 10 cents higher, range from 2 to 10 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 cents lower at $6.95. 2703 with basis steady at 25 to 17 under the March. Soybean bids ended 3 cents stronger at 1477 to 1488 with basis 3 cents stronger at option to 12 over the January. New crop wheat prices lost 3 cents down to 787 to 799 with basis steady at 42 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mostly lower today, ranging from 680 to 698. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 3 cents with quotations at 1503 to 1517. Soft red winter wheat down 3 at 798 to 799, and the Milo 6 cents lower at 681 to 682. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids at country elevators range from 579 to 594. New crop soybean bids at 1255 to 1269. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids at 585 up to 606, with new crop beans at 1268 to 1285. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 571 up to 616, beans at 1271 to 1283. And the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery, those ranged from $7.75 to $8 even. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures prices from the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. December hogs ended at 82.12, up a nickel. February hogs ended at 85.90, up a quarter. April hogs ended at 90.65, up 17. December cattle yesterday ended at 126.20, down 15. February cattle 131.47, down 32. April cattle 135.37, down 37. January feeder cattle yesterday 153.12, up 37. March feeders 155.07, up 35. April feeders ended at $156, up 12. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's livestock report. First of all, in the eastern corn belt on Thursday afternoon, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis ended 15 cents lower for the day. The base price for a 200-pound pork carcass ranged from $75.82 to $83, with a weighted average carcass price of $77.18. From the Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report on Thursday, slaughter sows traded mostly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 39 to 45, 4 to 5 weights at 40 to 51, 5 to 550s at 47 to 53, and heavyweight sows over 550 pounds range from $51 to $54. Lightweight boars under 300 pounds were at 36 to 40, heavyweight boars over 300 pounds 10 to 16. On the Illinois Direct Trade on Thursday at the country buying points, barrels and gilts, U.S. 1 and 3 grades weighing 220 to 290, traded mostly a dollar lower for the day, ranging from 50 to 53, with a few head up to $55. And Illinois receipts for hogs on Thursday totaled 11,748. Also today, we have a short recap of the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday. Receipts totaled 647 head, and compared to last week, the slaughter steers and heifers traded 50 cents to a dollar lower, and Holsteins down $1.50. Choice slaughter steers range from 123 to 125. Choice slaughter Holstein steers at 112 to 115.50, with the choice heifers 123 to 125. Also, a short recap of the Schuyler Livestock Auction in Rushville on Wednesday. Receipts totaled 598 head, with the majority of those head accounting for feeder cattle. Choice slaughter steers did range from 123 to 129. Choice slaughter heifers at 122 to 126.85. In their special feeder cattle auction, feeder steers, medium large ones weighing 400 to 500 pounds, traded at 163 up to 180. 5 to 600 pound steers at 140 to 162, with the 6 to 7 weights at 140 to 147. Feeder heifers, medium large ones weighing 4 to 500 pounds, were at 151 to 163. 5 to 600 pound heifers at 130 to 143, with some considered fancy at 150 to 151. Also, we have the opening report from the Walnut Livestock Auction in Walnut, Illinois. Early estimated receipts totaled 365 head, and the slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a dollar lower, while the slaughter Holstein steers were $2 higher. Choice steers range from 124.50 to 129.75, choice Holstein steers at 110.50 to 116.50, and the choice heifers range from 124.85 to 128. On the daily box beef cutout values at the close on Thursday, prices were mixed. Choice carcasses down $1.27 at $194.51, while select carcasses gained 34 cents at $175.68. And on the estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection on Thursday, cattle slaughter estimated at 127,000 head. That compares to 128 last week and 128,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter estimated on Thursday at 433,000 head. That compares to 432 last week and 431,000 a year ago. That completes our afternoon livestock report. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $159.5 unchanged. For block cheese, $172.5 down $3.5. For barrel cheese, $162.5 down $2.5. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $18.58. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for December, $7.08. For January, $7.11. Corn delivered to Scottville for December, $7.06. For January, $7.11. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for December, $14.89. For January, $14.84. And wheat delivered to Scottville for December, $7.65. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Once again, the pre-opening price is corn at Greenfield, $7.08. Corn at Scottville, $7.06. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.89. Wheat at Scottville, $7.65. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday. Time now for a check of Color Radar weather. Color Radar showing no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
The time to start planning your 2013 whole farm needs is now. Visit your local crop specialist for a whole farm plan to help integrate your farm input needs. By matching up seed and crop protection programs, M&M Service can ensure you are getting the most out of your hard-earned dollar. M&M Service has the tools and resources to help you budget your farm's needs. As 2012 comes to a close, the entire staff at M&M Service Company would like to wish you and your families a safe and happy holiday season. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 50s with light south winds. Tonight becoming cloudy with occasional showers possible, low temperatures in the low 40s. For tomorrow, Saturday, morning showers, then becoming partly cloudy, high temperatures in the upper 50s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the low 30s, high temperatures in the low 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 32 degrees. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Envirofoam of America and by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive. First of all, at our farm news today, one problem associated with a dry year is aflatoxin in corn. We talked to Greg Dolbear with the CHS Service Center in Louder. They can market corn with higher than average levels of aflatoxin. We talked to him about the aflatoxin problem.
It tends to show up in drought years, which we had a drought year in this area, so we've seen more of it this year than probably the last 25 years.
Now, the first line of defense against this, is it with you folks at the elevator or on the farm?
Well, I don't know that there's a whole lot they can do on the farm. They're the victim. But, you know, the first line of defense is to test your corn either prior to harvest or after harvest as it comes across the scale.
Is there a test of a person can do on the farm at the bin?
It can be done, but it's kind of a scientific test with a chemistry lab, so you have to purchase the equipment, and that's several thousand dollars to get set up to do it. So probably the farmer is not going to do it. But yes, we've been testing basically every load since harvest as it comes across.
And what kind of numbers have you been seeing doing that?
Well, we've seen as high as 500, but not too many of those. Most of them are under 200 and, you know, clear down to zero. And by and large, most of it is okay, but then once you have it in your corn, it's there.
Is there anything you can do to get rid of it in the bin, or is it just something that you have to take precautions so it doesn't get any worse?
To my knowledge, there's nothing you can do to get rid of it, but you can make it worse if you have certain conditions in the bin. It is a mold. It can grow, so it's like cheese in the refrigerator. If the conditions are right, the mold may increase, so it's probably not something you want to keep around.
Those numbers you mentioned a little bit earlier, 200 and 500, now what do those mean?
Parts per billion, so it's a infinitesimal.
Like we said, it doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. I think if you have a corn sample that has two or three kernels in it, you could have a high reading, and if you have one that has no kernels in it, you could have a low reading. So it does depend on the sample size.
Now, speaking of it, from your end there at the elevator, when you ship it, say, to the processors or to the terminals, what are their limits?
Well, each one's different, but the ethanol plants, they are currently looking for 5 or 10 parts or less, because when they make ethanol, it concentrates in the byproduct. So they want to keep it under 20, so they have to have less than 20 to start with. And then, human consumption is always under 20. Dairy is always under 20. So depending on where they're going to sell that corn, depends on what they can take. But we're fortunate to have a market for up to 150 parts here at Louder, because we sell into the West Texas cattle fat feedlot, fat cattle feedlot is what I'm trying to say. And so that's, we've been able to make a market for it. And of course, they want to buy it with some discount, so we have to discount some, but at least we can take the corn in.
Well, that's better for you in one respect, is when you ship it to Texas, they probably won't reject it like they would, say, at the river terminals or at Decatur.
Well, I won't say we won't reject anything, because we have rejected a few, but mm-hmm. We've been able to take a lot that was rejected elsewhere. And when it leaves here, it's tested, and so they know what they're getting down there prior to shipping. And It is an avenue that can be used to get rid of the corn.
How long have you been able to load unit trains there at Louder?
Oh, about 8 years, I think. We started in 2005.
And how many cars are in a train now?
110 is average. There might be a few over, a few under, but that's roughly 440,000 bushels.
That was Greg Dolbear of CHS in Louder. And for more information, phone 965-4004. The price of soybean oil is on the rise. Todd Gleason reports it may continue to keep going higher into the future, and that could be very supportive to the price of soybeans.
This marketing year, USDA expects the price of soybean oil to remain weak relative to the other product from soybeans, a bean meal. Daryl Good, University of Illinois ag economist, says the projected range in Decatur, Illinois is 51 to 55 cents a pound for soybean oil. That compares to about 52 cents last year. It's a nominal increase and, by comparison, small to the average increases expected for both soybeans and soybean meal. He says the relative low price projection for soybean oil reflects prospects for weaker demand than forecast for soybean meal, as soybean oil exports during the current marketing year are projected at 1.2 billion pounds. That's compared to 1.464 billion last year and 3.23 billion in 2010. Still, while exports during the current marketing year are expected to be down by nearly 14% from exports of a year ago, Daryl Good says shipments and sales have been pretty strong.
Shipments during the first 7 weeks were more than 3.5 times larger than those of a year ago, and unshipped sales are currently 2.8 times larger than those of last year. The prospects for very small inventories of U.S. soybean oil by the end of the marketing year underscore the importance of a rebound in South American soybean production.
South American production is an important part of the demand picture for U.S. soybean oil. The poor crop from that region of the world last year has been used up. Its new crop will come online in the first half of 2013, and demand will shift south again. However, soybean oil remained fairly low priced until recently. And over the first 8 weeks of the marketing year, it averaged about 48 cents a pound. Again, USDA is projecting 51 to 55 cents for the marketing year. Good seems a bit more optimistic than even the current price projections because US EPA has increased the minimum amount of domestic biodiesel consumption for this year from 1 billion gallons to 1.28 billion gallons. And therein lies part of the current price increase.
The increase in prices that began 2 weeks ago is likely to be extended. Unless the biofuels mandate is amended, price strength could extend well into the future.
So to bottom line Daryl Good's thought process, the increase of 280 million gallons of biodiesel for use this marketing year will require about 2.1 billion pounds of additional feedstock. That's only if the biodiesel trade remains at the same level as it did last year. However, biodiesel production could also exceed the minimum requirement in order to meet the advanced and total biofuels RFS mandate for the year. USDA, in Daryl Good's assessment then, is counting on feedstocks other than soybean oil to meet this demand. The marketplace, that one might have different ideas. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Recently, agriculture has experienced more regulations from the federal government. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association has worked on these regulations with lawmakers to try and help them understand what regulations mean to farmers and ranchers. One of those regulations is the Clean Water Act, and National Cattlemen's Beef Association President J.D. Alexander says it is something all owners and operators have to be aware of and be permitted on the EPA and state level, meeting strict regulations in order to operate.
Right now, totally has not been finalized. We're working on it to make sure that it's workable within our operations. You know, there are certain things that they come out that simply are not everyday common occurrences that allow us to continue to operate. So what we're really doing is every day, we're just looking to make sure that something is not irrelevant or something that would not be workable for our producers.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association also worked on the transportation bill. Mr. Alexander says many producers across the United States do much of their own hauling of equipment, livestock, and commodities. At one point in time, he says, the Department of Transportation tried to force everyone to have a CDL, a commercial driver's license. Mr. Alexander says a CDL could be expensive and time-consuming.
What we're able to do is just show that a lot of these are farmers, ranchers, and so on that don't haul their equipment or their machinery or livestock or commodities very far from home. So it's not like you're traveling coast to coast. We just felt that it was not important for every producer to have a CDL and would just be able to operate with a simple driver's license. And that was the main thing that we tried to get through and have been very successful in so far.
Another big issue for agriculture recently was the Department of Labor's investigation of child labor on family farms and ranches. Alexander says this issue was a top priority for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Most people who have grown up on farms and ranches in rural America have started working since they could almost walk to help their parents on the farm, according to Alexander, which he says builds a great work ethic.
When they became interested in saying, well, you had to be X number of years old, it would eliminate a lot of the people being able to get into our operations. So it just was really not a very good sound bill that was out there. And it really was a good work on our national NCBA and all of our state affiliates as well to really send the message that this is not good legislation, it's not good for the future of agriculture, and we're able to get that stopped so we can have good, safe working conditions for our children, with supervision, of course, in our operations.
To learn more, go to www.beefusa.org. University of Illinois researchers will be able to look for ozone-resistant corn thanks to a $5.7 million grant from the National Science Foundation. Researchers will screen different lines of corn. They say ozone can cause major damage and yield reduction in crops. Its cost for corn is estimated at $700 million a year around the world. There's also a public service portion of the grant. The News Gazette reports that researchers will also use part of the money to expand an after-school plant biology program at the Urbana Middle School. They'll also set up a summer science day camp at the Champaign-Urbana campus for middle school and high school girls. Our guest on the Saturday Farm Show is Jackie Luking of the Illinois Quarter Horse Association. She'll talk about their convention and trade show January 11th through the 13th at the Keller Convention Center in Effingham. The Saturday Farm Show will be heard Saturday morning at 6:15 here on FM 106 and at 12:45 on both WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106. The Montgomery County pork producers and WSMI Radio are continuing their holiday tradition of the 12 days of Christmas. Until next Friday, the 21st, we'll give away $20 worth of pork certificates each weekday, courtesy of the Montgomery County pork producers. Just email your name and mailing address to Randy at WSMIRadio.com. We'll draw a winner randomly each weekday. Those who have won something from WSMI over the past 30 days are not eligible. Winners will be notified by mail. And once again, email to Randy at WSMIRadio.com. As we close on the Farm Show this morning in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat now trading at $7.99¾, up 6¾. March wheat trading at $8.13¾, up 5¼. December corn trading at $7.12¾, up a half. March corn trading at $7.20½, up a quarter. January soybeans trading at $14.89, up 12½. March beans trading at $14.85¼, up 12¾. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Envirofoam of America and by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive.